I know most of you know Dr. David Smith, but in case you don't, and the people on live stream tonight, he is coming to share God's word with us again. He's the executive director of our Austin Baptist Association. David, where you go? Oh, there you are. Come share God's word with us.
Thank you, Mike. I didn't mean to take you off of where you saw me last before you prayed, but it is so very good to be with you and worshiping with you today. Is it not gorgeous outside? Wow. In fact, I was thinking to myself, especially for those that are listening online, this might be a nice time to have your laptop computer on your back porch and the cool breeze. And I'm not tempting you all to run out of here, but it was a thought that passed my mind. It was a thought. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to John chapter 17. We'll get started in John chapter 17 in just a moment. But I want to begin by sharing with you this thought. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God's intention is to use the church to show his wisdom to everyone in heaven on earth according to his purpose. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of our Lord and Savior, says that the church is to be the vehicle to show the wisdom, to show God's wisdom to everyone here on earth. And here's how it states that in Ephesians chapter 3, 9 through 11. To shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in the Messiah, Jesus our Lord. So the purpose of the church is to accomplish something very significant, and that is to share God's wisdom to the world. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought to yourself, what is the potential? What potential does our church have, First Baptist Pflugerville, in accomplishing God's purpose? I mean, what could it look like? What would it be like if we were to accomplish God's purpose in this church and in this place? You know, all across Texas, there are all kinds of Baptist churches, Methodist churches, all kinds of denominational churches. But we know from Scripture that the church is Jesus' personal project. It is joy. And as we look at John chapter 17, I want to share with you just how significant you are, how significant the church is, how significant it is that people gather together in what we refer to as a church. So John chapter 17, by some definitions, has been defined as the high priestly prayer. Some people have defined it as the farewell prayer. But this thing we do know, it is the longest prayer given by Jesus in the Gospels. So where does he give this prayer? He gives it in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he's crucified. So think about that for just a moment. He's all God, he's all man, he's about to die. He knows exactly what's about to come his way. And what does he do? Well, there are at least three prayers we have that are recorded in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus prays. But very specifically, we want to look at this prayer in verses 9 through 24. If you've got your Bible, you can follow along with me as I read it. It's on the screen. And so either way, please feel free to follow along with me. I pray for them, Jesus says. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost, except the son of destruction, so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not in the world, as I am not in the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire those you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Let me lead us in a prayer. Father, how significant it is this morning that we've just spent time verbalizing a prayer that Jesus prayed to you on our behalf. Father, your Son came to earth, grew up, died on a cross that we might have salvation, and at this point in the story, he is praying for us. I wonder what heaven is like as we recite this prayer. How amazing for a father to hear this prayer of his son. And yet today, Father, may we have a glimpse, an idea as to what you are praying for First Baptist Church, Pflugerville. Father, you're praying that for all of the expressions of believers gathering, which we call the church. But God, what is it that you expect as of us? It's always good for us, Lord, to sit back and to reflect and to ponder how we're pleasing you with our worship, how we're pleasing you with our church, how we're pleasing you, God, as you have left us on this earth to be salt and light and a witness. So, Father, guide us as we work through this prayer. Thank you, Father, in advance for your working and your moving in our midst. In your name I pray. Amen. You might want to keep your copy of God's Word open as we look at it, because what I want to share with you are five things that I believe God wants us to experience in the context of church. Five things that he would desire that we would experience in church. Number one, I find in verse number 13, that we would experience the joy of God. In fact, Jesus said that he wants us to have his full measure of joy, and he wants it to be completed in us. So what is the joy of God? Let me see if I can suggest to you this definition. The joy of the Lord, or the joy of God, is the firm, unshakable conviction that God loves me, is 100% for me, and is working out everything for my good. The joy of the Lord is the firm, unshakable conviction that God loves me, is 100% for me, and is working everything out for my good. And in that, there can be joy. It's not happiness. Happiness is related to what happens in our life. But there is a joy as believers because we know that God is in control. You've had to have experienced this if you've been involved in church over any period of time. You find someone who's gone through an incredibly difficult situation. And you're observing to see how they're going to handle it, how they're going to respond. What's their reaction to that? In the midst of it, they have a sense of joy. We might use the word peace, but there's a sense of joy. And I think it's so powerful that God has us collected together, so to speak, in memberships in churches as believers, because that joy that we see in one another can be contagious to ourselves. So how do you experience God's joy? Very quickly, another whole sermon. I won't give you two today, I promise. Number one, joy through prayer. The joy of the Lord often comes through prayer. You begin to pray, you begin to seek the Lord, you begin to realize how amazing he is, and you experience that joy through prayer. You experience that joy through God's Word, through reading God's Word, seeing of His provision, of His work, of His care, of His love for us. And then you experience the joy of the Lord through His Holy Spirit. He says when He leaves that He's going to leave a comforter with us. This Holy Spirit brings about joy in our life. What does a joy-filled life look like? Well, Adoniram Judson, a 19th century missionary, was known for his joy in the Lord. He went to Burma as a missionary way back in 1812, filled with the directive from God to go and to reach these people. And it said in his story that soon after he arrived, he approached a Burmese man and, not knowing the language, simply embraced him. The man went home and reported to his family that he had seen an angel. The joy of Christ was so radiant in Judson's countenance that men called him Mr. Glory-Faced. That's the kind of joy God wants for us, that we should exhibit for one another. Now, I have not ever been called Mr. Glory-Faced. Got a little bit too much sun yesterday, so I'm glowing just a tad. But you know, there is a sense to which you can literally look at a person's countenance and you can see the peace and the tranquility and the presence of God. And so Jesus prays that we would experience the joy of God in verse number 13. Then in verse number 14, he secondly prays that we would follow the Word of God, that we would follow the Word of God. Now, this begins our prayer that, you know, we looked at today, began in verse number 9, but in verse number 8, he says, "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them." Verse number 8, prior to the passage that we look like. When the disciples received the words of Jesus, it gave their lives meaning, it gave them motivation, it gave them mission. And I would ask you, what do the words of God do for you in your own life? How does God's word impact, change, affect your life? Jesus prays that we would follow the word of God. Sadly to say, there are a lot of people today that disregard God's word. In fact, God's word really doesn't even show up a whole lot in their worship context, because simply they're sharing good ideas, but there is power in the Word of God. Amen. There is power in Scripture. I'm so appreciative of my wife. I have a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a habit, that sounds like it's a bad thing, but I love to do this. When I do a wedding, I get a Bible for the couple that's about to be married, and I get their name on it, and I use that Bible in the wedding ceremony. And when the lady walks out, she carries her flowers, and the guy is carrying his Bible. And the first message or the first proclamation from this Bible that they carry is their wedding sermon, that wedding ceremony. And in my speed to pick up Bibles, I, you know, bought a whole bunch of them. My wife was glancing through it, and this particular version didn't have the red letter version. She told me, she said, "Man, you got to take those back. Those have to have the red letter." Now, if you have a Bible that doesn't have red letters, and the red letters designate the words that Jesus spoke, but I like what Julie's latched onto there, that there is power in the very words, and how powerful even the red letter words that are there.
In the book of Acts, we learn about the early church, and the early church spent time doing what? They continued studying and learning Scripture. That's what you did in Bible study before you came into here. Or maybe you have Bible study that you meet with other people over the course of the week. You have a time in which you sit down and you read those words and you study those words and you apply them to your life. And what does God expect? That we would follow His word. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 say these words, "My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the perfect purpose for which I sent it. It is always true." We might not always see the results of God's word and the power of God's word, but I want to tell you that it's there. It's there nonetheless. So he prays, number one, that we would experience the joy of God. Number two, that we would follow the word of God. And number three, because it's really easy for you to say, well, that's the church, that's the staff's responsibility. But I think number three really impacts every single one of us. And it is this, that we would go forth in the mission of God. That we would go forth in the mission of God. Now, what is the mission of God? Well, we have what's called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, that we're going to the world and baptize people and make disciples. But the beautiful thing about a body of believers is there's all kinds of ways in which you all can engage people with the mission, with the objective of sharing Jesus with them. Julie and I had an opportunity to have dinner with a pastor here in Austin. The pastor has such favor that he pastors in Marble Falls, and yet the Hispanic pastors have asked him to be the lead of the Austin Latin Ministers Alliance. So this guy's something. I mean, he's pastoring there, and yet they want him the president here. And we said, tell us about how you came to faith in Christ. And he said, well, I was involved in construction and often found myself drinking too much. He said, I was in jail, and in that experience of being in jail, he said, nobody had talked to me, but he said, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if you're real, come into my heart and change my life. And the Lord did. And the story was great. The next day, he was supposed to be arraigned before the judge. And he said, so when is my arraignment? And they said, we're just letting you go home. He really believes it was kind of one of those God things. God put me here to really change the course of my life. So then his wife picks up the story. She says, he comes home and tells me he's a Christ follower. And I'm going, whatever you got, I don't want. Because I've experienced all the bad stuff that you have inflicted upon me and my kids, and I'm not going. He began to go to a local church to learn about the things of God. And the ladies in the church knew that their son was having a birthday party, and they said, hey, would it be okay if we just have a birthday party for your son? She told her husband, if that party is inside the church, I'm not going. You know how the story goes. The party was outside. She goes to the story, is overwhelmed with the love of these people, was overwhelmed by the fact that none of these people are trying to get her to join the church or become members. And so the next day on Sunday, she decides that she's going to go to church just to say thank you for having the birthday party for her son. And she tells a story which was so fun. She says, the pastor was preaching and I was convinced that my husband had told the pastor all the stuff that was going on in my life. Isn't it amazing how God works? And she said it at the end of the service, the pastor said, if you want to know Jesus, raise your hand. And she did this. She said, you know what I did? All because some ladies decided that their mission was to love a mom by having a birthday party for a child. What is your mission? You might have found a place to plug in here and you are absolutely fully tapped out. You can't do anything more. Praise the Lord for that. But I have a feeling maybe there are some of you that are asking God, God, what's my mission here as a part of this fellowship? God, what do you want to do through me for your glory and for my good? That we would go forth in the mission of God. Number four. That we would be united in the love of God. that we would be united in the love of God. Jesus prayed that all believers would be united. And what did he ask that they be united in? In love. Not in decisions, not in their plans, not in their organization, not in the budget, not in any of these things, but would they be united in love? And when you're united with someone in love, all of those other measurables just kind of fall by the way. Because Spirit-filled Christians, united in love, guided by the purpose that God has put forth, can do anything. That they would be united in the love of God, verse number 21. And then finally, that they would sense the glory of God. That they would sense the glory of God. In fact, I don't know if you've kept track of this whole scripture, but glorifying God is the overall theme. He begins early on, even before we read, praying that God would be glorified. And then this fifth expectation, that they would sense the glory of God, he literally is asking that God be preeminent, God be the most important. Jesus said in verse number 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me. That word glory in the Greek means the visible manifestation of the splendor, power, and radiance of God. So when Jesus prays these words, his desire is that his people continually feel a sense of splendor and power and radiance of God. We ought to be sharing with one another on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, as often as we have an opportunity of the things that God is doing, and we ought to, with great joy, say, God, thank you for what you've done. Howard Hendricks once said, the church doesn't need more workers, it needs more worshipers. True worship is incredible. It's the highest experience possible for Christians. He goes on to say, too many Christians arrive at a worship service preoccupied by their problems or focused on what they can get from the service instead of what they can give to it. But when the people focus on God and give him glory, he comes and makes the church a place of power. When a church really worships, when its people really seek to please God and have fellowship with him and other believers, it draws non-believers like a magnet. Because there's nothing else to match this in the world. Now hear me in what I'm about to say, because I think it is so applicable to where you are as a church right now. The real value of any church is not in the facility, it's not in the pastor, it's not in the programs, it's not even in people. The real value of any church is that Jesus is with them. And that's our prayer moving forward. Because it brings his power and his presence. I am so excited for you as you move into this new season of your life and of your church. And in John chapter 17, we have in a very short, quick, concise way, a picture of what God or what Jesus prays to his Father, that we would experience the joy of the Lord, that we would follow his word, that we would go forth in mission, that we would be united in love, and we would sense the glory of God. As you have been drawn by God to be a part of this church fellowship, how would you evaluate where you are as a church? You say, well, you know, we're doing really well in this area, that area. We need a little help this area. That, you know, the great thing is the Lord loves his bride. And his bride comes in all different sizes and worship styles and staffing and the like. But the power of the church is the presence of Jesus. I want to ask you, as a body of believers, as you began this embarking on looking for a new pastor, seeing where God would lead you in that, to say, Lord, whatever happens, your glory, you being glorified, is first and foremost amongst anything. And that God, as we look for this new pastor, as we look at this new season of our church, God, we're going to experience your joy. And we're going to resist anything that would take that joy away. God, we're going to follow your word. We're going to read your word. God, we're going to go forth in mission. We're going to be united in love. And we're going to pray and sense your glory. I want to invite you over the next couple of weeks to pull out your New Testament, read John 17 again, and ask the Lord, Lord, how would you have me to be engaged in that? In just a moment, I'm going to conclude with a prayer. But the staff of your church will be here at the front. Maybe today, as you've heard Jesus' call, Jesus' prayer to the church, maybe you need to ask yourself, where do I need to fall in line with that? Maybe you've been attending and you've never, ever joined this church in an official capacity. We invite you, I invite you this morning to come and be a part of a great church. But maybe it is that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. That's the first step. Coming to a point in your life of saying, Lord, I can't do this life on my own. I'm a sinner. I need your salvation, Lord. You can come and we can introduce you to Jesus Christ today. I was so excited in talking to Mike. It sounds like we've got, and again, you know, it sounds like a Baptist preacher, but we got a herd of people. We got a gaggle of people. We got a whole bunch of people that are ready to be baptized. And why don't you come and join the gang this morning? I'm going to pray. And as I close in prayer, I invite you to respond to God's leadership as to what you would do. Will you stand with me this morning? So, Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that the church, that believers have always been on your mind. Lord, you're about to die to experience an unbelievable way in which to be crucified and literally tortured. And you're praying for the church. You're praying for us. You're praying for First Baptist Church, Pflugerville. So, Father, guide us today as we would respond. There's no way that we can come into contact with your word and not have some kind of response. God, whether our response is at our seat or at our home, if we're listening online, God, may we be led by you, empowered by you to do what it is that you've called us to do. Father, it would be our delight to this morning to be able to say that as a result of this worship service, someone has come to give their life to you or has come to be baptized, to give that outward expression of an inward decision. God, if there's somebody here that needs to join this church, God, they might say, well, I want to wait until the new pastor. God, we've already identified the fact that the church is the church because of the presence of Almighty God. Not facilities, not staff, not programming, not even a pastor. It's the presence of Jesus. So, Father, today we respond as you lead. In your name I pray. Amen.